Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hi, this is Nadia from Cold Chamber, and you're listening to Talking Metal.
Molson Canadian presents Heavy Montreal, August 7th, 8th, and 9th, outdoors at Parc Jean Drapeau, featuring Slipknot, Faith No More, Korn, and Alexis on Fire. 3 full days of rock and metal with Lamb of God, Iggy Pop, NoFX, Lita Ford, and many more. Festival passes on sale now. For the full festival lineup, visit HeavyMontreal.com. Produced by Evenco.
Hey, this is Mark Striegel of Talking Metal. On today's show, we have Nadia Poland from Cold Chamber checking in with us. We're going to talk to her all about Heavy Montreal, where Cold Chamber will be playing in August. I'm not sure if it's the 7th or 8th that they play. I need to check the schedule, but they are part of Heavy Montreal this year, and also part of Heavy Montreal, Mitch LaFon, who is today's co-host. How are you, Mitch?
Good, doing very well, actually. Always a pleasure to join you on Talking Metal.
Yeah, well, it's always great having you on the show. And we are going to be hanging live at Heavy Montreal doing podcasts and streaming and all sorts of fun stuff from the event August 7th, 8th, and 9th. Who are you psyched to see? Who are some of your favorite bands that are going to be on the bill this year?
Well, you know what? First of all, Cold Chamber is August 9th on the Sunday. They're part of the big grand finale, right? They're like the fireworks of the festival. But for me, honestly, I was real excited about Warrant and Lita Ford and Dokken because I love those guys. I know those guys. And all. But then they announced Extreme, and that just got me worked up. I think going to see Extreme in a little tiny club in Montreal would be sort of anticlimactic and sort of like, do I go, don't I go? But to see them on a big stage with like 30,000 fans in the audience doing their entire Porno Graffiti album, I think it's going to be a trip. I mean, this is going to be absolutely fantastic.
Do you know that I've never seen Extreme live, which is unbelievable. It's... Because I've always liked them. I like Nuno. I like his playing. I think he's just a brilliant guitar player. But I've honestly never seen them live. So that is also one of the bands I'm very excited to see at Heavy Montreal.
Yeah, you know, I can't blame you for not seeing them. They haven't really toured extensively in the last 20 years. A few shows here and there, but they've been off the road. I saw them twice, actually, in my life. So, once at a club in Montreal called Le Brick.
Okay.
Oh, my God, it was a... club that maybe sat or stood, you know, 250 people or something, and it was a hot sweaty night. Great performance. And then they came back on their what was that album, Waiting for a Punchline, I think the album was called. They played the Metropolis in Montreal, and that was the tour where they decided, we're not playing More Than Words anymore because we don't want to be the More Than Words guys.
That's ridiculous.
And yeah, I mean, you know, they played all the other songs, and you could sort of see that the crowd was there to hear the More Than Words song, and then they didn't do it. Now, as a fan, I was sort of happy that we had the sort of more diehard set list, but you could sort of see that there was a general, you know, sort of a,
right,
from everybody afterwards. You know, the show ended and the lights came on. People just went, yeah, okay. No, no More Than Words, huh? Okay. Yeah. Anyway, if you go back to my Gary Sharon interview on episode 119 of One on One, we talked about that. And he went, yeah, you know what? He didn't say this word, but he was sort of went, yeah, we were being dicks. We shouldn't have done that.
Yeah, and there's some footage of Steven Tyler doing that, I think, with Nuno Betancourt online, which is pretty cool, worth checking out. Having said that, let's get into another band that I'm totally psyched to see at Heavy Montreal. This is Cold Chamber, and this is the title track off the new record, Rivals. And it's going to be followed with the bassist of Cold Chamber, the beautiful Nadia, here on Talking Metal. Rivals, followed by my interview with Nadia. Hey, it's Mark Striegel from Talking Metal, and calling in on the line, we have Nadia Poland from Cold Chamber. How are you?
Great. How are you?
I am good, and I'm very excited. In less than a month, actually, I guess 2-3 weeks away, I'm going to check you guys out in Montreal. I'm flying up to Montreal to see the great 3-day hard rock, heavy metal, punk rock festival, Heavy Montreal. And Cold Chamber is one of the bands I'm really excited to see play there. When was the last time you were in Montreal?
Oh, my God. That must have been, well, it was either in 99 or in 2001 or 2.
Wow. Okay. Okay.
So it's been a long time. I mean, we were just in Toronto on the last U.S. run and then went up to Canada, but didn't make it to Montreal.
Right on. Well, you mentioned...
We're looking forward to that.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it, too. It's going to be just a great 3-day festival, and you guys are a big part of it. And you mentioned 99 and 2002, which were times you were out touring with Cold Chamber. And Cold Chamber is back together after like a 13-year hiatus. But let's talk about your history with the band. This is really your first, the record Rivals, which came out recently, is your first record with the band. But having said that, you still have quite a history with the band. Can you talk about that history?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I came to the band in 99, originally filling in for Reyna, who was pregnant at the time. And I toured pretty much the entire touring cycle of the Chamber music album. So that was almost like a pretty much a year. And then after that, they went into the studio and recorded Dark Days, and Reyna left, and then I came back to do all the touring for the Dark Days album. So basically, I toured the last couple of records live, and, you know, then we broke up, and now we're back with this new album, and, you know, it's three times a charm.
Yeah. And the record,
you know,
is...
So, yeah, this is my first record that I've recorded with the guys. And, you know, it's been really good. So I've been, it's nice for me to finally, like, be on the album also, you know, after all this history of touring with them.
Yeah, I mean, because you have such a long history with them. And Rivals, an incredibly strong record. We just got to check out the new video that you guys released, which looks awesome. Can you talk a little bit about that, where it was shot?
Yeah, it was shot at Coco in London, and that was the last UK show that we did on this past run. After that, we went to Europe for like 5 more shows. But yeah, it was a sold out night, and it was just a really good show. And I didn't even actually at the time, I knew they were shooting it, but I didn't know it was for the Rivals video.
Oh, okay.
I'm sure somebody told me, and it probably just slipped my mind, you know.
And it looks like you got a camera, like, on the headstock of your bass. Is that true?
Yeah.
Like a GoPro.
Yeah, they put that on there, and I wasn't sure. I'm like, I don't know. You know, I was kind of worried that I would ruin their camera, but they didn't seem to care, and it stayed on there the whole time. So, you know, it was cool. My first GoPro moment, right, with camera on bass.
Nice. And we will have that video linked in today's show notes on Talking Metal for the listeners. Let's talk about what you've personally been up to since the last Cold Chamber tour ended back in 2002. What have you been doing these past 13 years?
Oh, good question.
Yeah, I'm sure it's probably hard to answer in a short period, but, you know, just a condensed 2-minute, 3-minute version.
Yeah, I mean, I've been doing, you know, a few things besides just, you know, living life. I started my T-shirt company in 2002, right after we broke up, which is called Cruel Tees. And back then, I was selling to Hot Topic stores, so I was really involved in just designing and, you know, producing shirts, basically, merchandise. And then I did some stuff for our old label, Roadrunner Records. You know, I did the Roadrunner United project, which was really cool. I actually recorded on that album, and we did like a live DVD and some show in New York for that, which
cool.
was cool. And what else did I do? I don't know. I appeared in a couple of Cypress Hill videos. I did my own band in L.A. for a while. So, you know, just a little bit of everything. You know, if I don't work on music, I'm usually involved in some sort of an art project, whether it's designing clothing or painting or, you know, whatever. And other than that, you know, I do yoga, which is maybe not what you want to hear, but that's pretty much, you know, that's what I do.
No, it's awesome. That's awesome. And you mentioned the T-shirts. What's the current status of your T-shirt company?
Well, I'm starting it up again. You know, I kind of swayed away from that a few years ago. And I think now it's like I'm ready to just kind of get back into it. You know, currently I just have a few shirts and a couple of little items available on my personal website. But I will start the Cruelties website again as well, probably within the next few weeks, you know, a couple months at the most.
And is this something like you would be looking to, you know, really take to the next level and get the T-shirts placed in stores like you used to and stuff like that?
Yeah, I think so. I definitely want to give it a go again and, you know, kind of see what happens and how much fun it's going to be.
Right.
Because it has to stay fun. Otherwise, I lose my interest.
Cool. And, you know, the Cold Chamber reunion that's happening now, I guess my question is do you envision it as a permanent thing? Are you guys back together permanently, or are you back together just for one record and a tour? What do you envision the long-term status of Cold Chamber being?
I mean, I'm hoping that this is going to be a permanent situation, you know. I don't know for sure, but that's, I think, what we're all planning on and what we're all working towards, you know. I definitely think we're going to do another record after, you know, this Rivals one that just came out. You know, but we'll see what happens. But so far, so good. You know, we've been having a great time on tour. And I definitely think that we're going to start writing again at some point, probably in the new year.
And when you recorded Rivals, were there other ideas that were kind of left behind and not included on the record that you may already kind of have a jump start on for another record with?
Yeah, I mean, possibly. Definitely, we had more songs than are on the record. I mean, there's 12 songs on the record. You know, we had probably 20, 30 songs, something like that. So that is something we can revisit. I doubt that we would probably be using the songs as they were written at the time, probably maybe take a part of it and write something new, because, you know, I think every record has a different vibe, you know, and Rivals had this vibe because that's kind of how the, you know, just the energy and everything was at the time when we were doing it. And I think that, you know, for a new record, it will probably be a whole new perspective on things. So, but I'm not sure. I mean, you know, on Rivals, there ended up some songs on there that we actually did in, I believe it was 2009 or something, and they came back and they ended up on the album. So I guess you never really know, you know, it depends on what works.
Right on, right on. Well, as a fan, we hope it definitely is a long-term thing. And Nadia, where are you originally from?
I'm originally from Germany. I grew up in Holland. And I've been in the States for a very long time.
Cool. And what originally drew you to music? Was there a certain artist or band or person that maybe had an influence on you that made you want to pick up the bass?
Well, I started out on the drums, and that just simply happened because I had drums in music class in school, and I just kind of was drawn to it. And from there, I kind of, you know, started playing with some people and jamming, and then I realized I wanted to be more into, like, songwriting. So then somebody actually gave me a bass, and that's how I started, you know, playing bass. But, yeah, I mean, I was always into music from a very young age. You know, my parents, you know, were very much into music. I grew up around all kinds of rock and roll, you know, classic rock, Motown, blues, whatever. You know, I grew up with all that kind of music, so it's always been there.
Excellent. Yeah. And at that young age, who were some of your favorite artists? Rock, Motown, you know?
I mean, at that time, I mean, I was listening, and I still do actually, listening to a lot of Lynyrd Skynyrd,
nice.
Grand Funk Railroad, Iggy and the Stooges, of course, and Bowie, you know, just that kind of stuff was mainly what I was listening to, but I have a broad variety of different artists that's in my, well, now it's in my iTunes, but So I'm really all over the place, you know?
Cool. And Iggy Pop will be on the same stage as you guys up at Heavy Montreal. So that'll be...
On the same day?
I'd have to check the schedule. I don't have it in front of me right now, but I know he yeah. is a part of the festival, so I have to, check that. Yeah, so it's going to be great. And
well, maybe I can go say hi.
Yeah, you should, and we'd love to have you visit us back in the press tent. We will be doing live podcasts from Heavy Montreal. So
nice.
You're welcome to stop by and bring Des and the guys.
Yeah, we'd love to do that. Just remind us.
Okay, will do.
Or remind our tour managers that he can get on us.
Absolutely. And again, Cold Chamber at Heavy Montreal in August. We will be there. And Nadia, thanks for checking in with us on Talking Metal.
Yeah, thank you very much. And see you soon. Burn, motherfucker.
Burn. The roof, the roof, the roof is on fire. We don't need no water, let the motherfucker burn. Burn, motherfucker, burn!
Come out of that. What you just heard was the song Sway by Cold Chamber, some classic Cold Chamber, which I'd imagine you'd probably hear them play that song at Heavy Montreal on August 9th, as Mitch mentioned earlier. That's the day they play the great Heavy Montreal Festival. And that particular song, Sway, actually doesn't have Nadia on bass. it's really wild. I mean, she was a part of Cold Chamber back in the day, but she really only did the touring, and I think not all the touring, certain tours she did. And this actually is the first Cold Chamber record that Nadia plays on, Rivals.
That's kind of cool. So she was swayed and into playing onto the album. That's
well, cool. Yeah, I guess the other bass player got pregnant at one point, so she had to sit a tour out, so they brought Nadia in. This is like back in 99 or something. And then eventually I think she just left the band, so they brought Nadia back in 2002 to do the final Cold Chamber tour. And then they broke up, so Nadia really never got a chance to play on a record with them. So when they got back together, it was very cool for her that they were getting back together and bringing her back into the fold, but also totally awesome that this was the first time she really went into the studio with them and got to express herself as a musician on the actual records. And the Rivals record is a really strong record, guys, if you haven't heard it. And again, Cold Chamber this year at Heavy Montreal. Mitch and I will both be there. And of course, Mitch, every time I have you on the show, I gotta ask you about, you know what, Kiss. So
more Kiss talk.
Yeah, right. My story for today is my kids are really into Scooby-Doo now, so they were asking me, oh, can you pull up some of those on-demand Scooby-Doo shows that we watch before bedtime while they're having their bedtime snacks? So I said, sure. And I went on into Fios On Demand, Verizon Fios On Demand, and sure enough, there I search Scooby-Doo. The first thing that comes up is Scooby-Doo and Kiss, the new movie, which was $20 on, you know, most of the Scooby-Doo stuff is free on Fios, but
$20 to rent it?
No, to own it. I mean, you own it, like, you know, in the virtual sense, but yeah, so I can watch it whenever I want. So I did it. I probably shouldn't have, but I spent $20 on it, and we watched the first 20 minutes before they went to bed, and I was expecting
you watch the rest after, right?
Yeah, well, I'll watch the rest, yeah, at some point, but I was expecting a train wreck, and I must say it kind of sucked me in. I thought it was pretty good for a kid's cartoon, and was pleasantly surprised. Have you seen the Scooby-Doo Kiss movie?
I have not. I pre-ordered it right on Blu-ray because I think it's important that my kids get to watch it. That said, no, I haven't seen this. I've seen the clips on YouTube. There's, you know, there's a like minute here and a minute there, and their little song that they do from it. You know, I expect it to be good. Kiss generally puts out a good product, except for, you know, the LA Kiss football team, but other stuff that they can control, it's usually a good product. And Scooby-Doo, Hanna-Barbera and all that, they put out good products. So I can't see it being a train wreck because they're both into quality control. It's sort of like if Kiss did a movie with Marvel, you'd go, oh, Kiss is doing... But it's Marvel, so you know it would be good. So I'm not surprised that it's good or entertaining and that they took time to go over the plot and the this and the that and the animation. I ordered it.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to getting it. I will watch it.
It's cool. I mean, like I said, I only watched the first 20 minutes, but the whole opening credit sequence I thought was done really classy and kind of in like an old school, like Kiss 70s way. And the one thing when you watch it, I'm fairly certain in the opening credits they have, you know, Rock and Roll All Night playing, that it's the re-recorded version of Rock and Roll All Night that they put out. Remember a couple years back they put out that
Walmart bonus disc?
Yeah, I think it's that version, which would make sense.
It has to be. Sure that every song used is the re-record because that's exactly why they did the re-records, for commercials and other exploitation. And then they don't have to pay any former band members. And I don't mean just Ace and Peter, because on that re-record, they what else did they do? Didn't they do Tears Are Falling or something like that, where they re-recorded some Bruce Kulick stuff too? Yeah, it probably is.
Yeah, I'm fairly certain. If it's not that, it definitely sounded like a newer version of Rock and Roll All Night. It sounded good, but it didn't sound like the original version of the song, for sure.
There's no way that it is the original version. I can guarantee that, just knowing how the whole legalities and all the, you know, the publishing and all that works.
Yeah.
They're using either those re-records or they re-recorded it again just for this, but it's no way the original. But hey,
yeah,
this is Kiss. I'll take it. You know, and people come down on the band for doing stuff like this. I don't. I think that's what made Kiss fun in the first place, is that they do this kind of project. There are other things that I take issue with, but this,
well,
no,
it's smart in a way, because, like, you know, I have a 4- and a 6-year-old kid. My 4-year-old's almost 5, actually. So two little boys, and they were really into it. You know, they didn't want to shut it off, and then they were right before my almost 5-year-old went to bed, he was talking about the Star Child and you know, and they don't use their names. There's no Paul Stanley or Gene Simmons or Tommy Thayer in the Scooby-Doo Kiss movie. It's all
Star Child,
the demon, you know. So, which is smart, you know, and they're planting this seed. This is really the first time my two little kids have been into Kiss, and I mean, they after 20 minutes walked away, and I could tell that they were excited by Kiss, and they knew that, oh, Kiss, that's that rock and roll band that Daddy listens to, but it's also now it's a cartoon, and it's in their world, and it's in you know, on their radar as something cool, and it just expands the life of it to yet, you know, another generation of fan. So
yeah, it's brilliant and good for them. I mean, my main objection with Kiss has always been the laziness of their set list. I think they've got incredibly talented musicians, and to keep it sort of to the same 15 songs for a decade now, you know, yes, there's a song change here and there, but they could do so much more with Eric and Tommy. That's my objection. But this, good on them. Good for them. And good for us. It's a fun little entertaining package we get to watch and pretend that we're showing it to our kids when we're watching it for ourselves.
Yeah, like I said, I only watched 20 minutes of it and I enjoyed it. You know, maybe after an hour in, I'll have a different opinion of the whole thing, but definitely cool. Yeah, cool first 20 minutes, and look forward to hearing your opinion and review of the movie,
of the Scooby-Doo.
Yeah,
well, listen, I'm sure it's going to be a review where it's just going to be one word, fun. It's just going to be a fun little thing. We'll see. I'll get it probably in the next week or two, because I think it comes out July 21st or something or late July on DVD Blu-ray.
Okay.
And there'll be a lazy Sunday morning where I'll just say, all right, watch Scooby-Doo with my toast. You know?
Right on. Cool.
There you go. Looking forward to it, actually.
Absolutely. And Mitch, what are you listening to right now? Any cool stuff you can tell us about? What are some of your favorite records of the month?
Well, you know what? I've gone probably a little soft for a lot of your listeners. I don't even know if I want to admit this, but Nelson.
Okay.
They have an album called Peace Out. It's just a really fun record. It's fluffy,
right?
You know, it's not heavy metal, but it's as good as any melodic rock from anything from the 80s. It's just big choruses, big hooks, incredible melodies. I got it and I thought, ugh, Nelson, and I put it on and I was like, oh, Nelson, I really like it. And the other one that I sort of had the same reaction to was Human Era by Trickster. I got, Trickster. And it's got big hook, big melodies. It's just a lot of fun. You know, you're not going to save the world with this. We're not saving whales. There's no messages. It's just fun stuff. And if I had to pick between the two, I think Nelson gets wins. You know, I think they have a little bit nicer melodies. I know on a talking metal show, when you say I like Nelson, it's sort of like,
my wife and I, one of our first dates was a Nelson concert. So,
did you pick up this album
I haven't heard it. No, I have not heard Peace Out yet. But
did you like Nelson back in the day?
Nah, I mean, I didn't mind the. All I knew was the one or two singles that they had, and I think I did have the Nelson cassette, but I don't think I listened to it much. But my wife was a fan of theirs back in the day.
So yeah, I will readily admit that I totally ignored them back in the day. This is the first Nelson product that has crossed my door. And I thought I was going to go crossing out the door straight away the other way, and it didn't. It's actually quite entertaining. So maybe I should go back and check out some of the old stuff. But it's a great fun album. And if your wife liked them then, I'm sure she will like this now.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'll definitely let her know. And you know what a good record is that you should check out, like a good hard rock record?
Yes,
is the guy from Angel, Frank Domino, has a new record out, Old Habits Die Hard. I just did an interview with him, which, you know, forced me to listen to the new record. And that was a good thing because it's... I am not just saying this because he was recently a guest on Talking Metal. The record's really good. Oz Fox on guitar. Eddie Ojeda does some of the guitar playing on it, too.
Oh, fingers.
Yeah. Punky Meadows, they dig him up, and he's playing on it. So, yeah, it's a really good group of, you know, older rockers delivering some great hard rock, you know, raw... It has that raw sound that Angel had on those early records, and a lot of fun.
Isn't it great, though, discovering music this way? I mean, yeah. I never would have given Nelson a second thought, and the album came through as part of an interview, you know, for One-on-One, and it turned out to be great. Andy Biersack of Black Veil Brides, I never would have discovered them. They did an interview when I was on that Kiss podcast, and we've done a couple on the One-on-One. Great hard rock. Gothard, that band out of Switzerland last year, they had a new album called Bang, and I did an interview. I had truly no clue as to who they were, and their entire back catalog is fantastic. It's just you know, the Bullet Boys I interviewed, their new album Elefante, I thought, the Bullet Boys, great album. Isn't that just sort of the great part of doing these podcasts and doing these interviews? You discover bands that there's no way you would have even thought of twice about. You know.
Yeah, absolutely. Cool. Well, I want to wrap up today's show by reminding everyone to come to Montreal and check out the Heavy Montreal Festival August 7th, 8th, and 9th. Again, Mitch and I will be there hanging out, doing interviews and broadcasts and all sorts of fun stuff live from the event. And also, Militia Vox, who I don't know if you guys remember her. She's been on the show numerous times. She is the lead singer of Judas Priestess, and she's a friend of mine, a friend of John Astronomy's, a friend of my wife's. She is out there with a solo album on the way, and the single has actually been released. It's on iTunes. Again, it's Militia Vox, and definitely go support her by purchasing this song on iTunes. The new single here is called Vow, and we're going to end today's episode by checking that out here on Talking Metal. Mitch, thanks a lot.
Always a pleasure.
This is Vow by Militia Vox.